You are listening to the Wisdom with Trish podcast. This is episode 78, Sticking to a Plan. Welcome to Wisdom with Trish. I'm Trish. I'm your host. I'm a mom to 6 kids. I've been married to my sweetheart for 28 years. And I'm a life coach. But most of all, and why we're all here, is I spent 30 years chronic dieting. Yep. Most of my life I've spent trying to be in a smaller body. And this podcast is about my journey to turning to God and trusting Him to not diet anymore. I found a path of health and a path of loving the space I take up in the world. And I'm here now to help other women do the same. So I'm so glad you're going to join me on the journey. All right, here we go. Hey, 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 everyone. All right, so today I'm like stuck at home because my husband a couple weeks ago totally totaled our car. He's okay, but I'm the bottom of the pecking order in the family. So we have purchased another car, but we can't actually go get it till later this week. So I'm home without a car, and I just refuse to be the Uber driver. I'd rather just stay home, honestly, than be the Uber driver. So I'm home today, and since I'm home, I have a recorded podcast that we were going to launch this week, but I thought, ooh, I'll save that one for next week, and I'll jump on and chat with all of you. Since I'm home, got nothing else better to do, so I'd rather, you know, just chat with my friends. So I want to talk today about the power of a plan. I want you to think about the last vacation you took. And I want you to think about all of the planning that took place. I know for me, when we go on vacation, most of the time we're going on a long car drive and to get to our destination, wherever we're going. Sometimes we'll fly, which is fantastic. But a lot of times if my kids are coming, we don't want to pay for tons of airline tickets. So we'll drive. So I have to plan for what's going to be happening in the car. Is the car mechanically functioning to take a long trip? What are we going to do in the car? What are we going to eat in the car? You know, and now that we mostly plants, that's a whole nother level of planning, right? And now that my kids are older and they all have their own devices, it makes it so much easier. When they were little, I would have to prepare lots of things for them to do in their car seats. And so just the car ride we had to prepare. And then once we got to our destination, there needed to be plans, right? So we do lots of planning just to do something as simple as go on vacation. But what I find when women come and work with me, and even my own brain, I find that those of us who have dieted a lot in the past, when they come work with me and I help them make a plan for what they want their life to look like, they're pretty hesitant about it, because I think that when we make a plan around our health in the past, that planning has always felt like restriction. It's felt like someone else is telling us what to do and we're abiding by someone else's plan. And honestly, none of that ever feels good. So we're, you know, we shouldn't be shocked that we don't do it very long or that it's not sustainable for us. But when you come in to breathe, part of the work we do there is you coming home to yourself and start realizing, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want my health journey to look like? What matters to me? What doesn't matter to me? And really, we start to make a plan of what you want to do and a plan of what you want your life to look like when it comes to taking care of yourself. And of course, I work really hard with the women in Breathe that they have an understanding that they know that we're very much in everyone's action line when we start making plans, right? Now, if you're not sure what I mean by that, I'll explain very quickly. We have thoughts about things, and thoughts create our feelings. And the way we feel about things is the way we show up in the world. It's the way it creates our action. So if our thoughts and our feelings aren't where they need to be, when we make a plan, the plan most likely is not going to be successful. And so having the right thoughts about your plan and that create the right feelings is super, super important. So we're going to assume that we have the right thoughts about the plan that we're making, and and it's created the right feelings, that it creates the desire for us to want to do the action of having a plan and acting out on our plan. What I want to talk about is what happens when we start to when we start to implement something that we want to be doing in our lives. Because what happens is we have different, I almost want to call them seasons, of when we start to implement change in our lives. At first, you're very excited, right? It's like the season of what could be, right? Like just the excitement of, if I was to really implement this plan, that could be really exciting. And the results from having that plan in my life really excite me. And that really helps me want to be able to show up and do this plan in the beginning, right? So we're very full of excitement. Well, then what happens is we start implementing that for a while. And then, gosh darn it, our human brain starts to show up. And that excitement that we felt in the beginning of starting something new, being excited about what the results will bring, that kind of fades away a little bit. Well, it actually does fade away, because we can't quite see the results happening yet. And so some coaches call this the river of misery. So when we start something new, we can do it for a while, but at some point, for that change to take place and for something different to happen and to start, let's say, a new habit or to create something in your life that's sustainable for long term, there's going to be a time where you don't enjoy it. I would watch this happen with my kids and the piano. I was a mom who I really wanted my kids to all play the piano. I would sign them up for piano lessons, and in the beginning, they would love it. They would learn the few simple, they'd learn their notes and they could play a few songs, and it was very fun. And then what would happen when they started having to play two hands at the same time? Their human brain would show up and they wouldn't want to do it. Because once it got challenging, their human brains would be like, this is not fun anymore. They'd already had some reward, right, in like getting to play a song and making some notes all sound like music. And they didn't really see the reward in, now I have to play with two hands. So it was fascinating. I always saw that in my own kids. But then my oldest girls, they would teach piano lessons once they were like in high school. And it was my job. I was like their secretary. They would have piano students, and I was the person that would interact with the parents and set up the new students and let them know like the expectations for payment and all that. I just dealt with the parents about that stuff. And I watched what would happen, because most of the students would come were beginners. And I absolutely would see that they would be very excited, and we would have these students would come and they'd be really all about piano, and then they would hit a wall. And it was typically when they had to introduce playing with both hands. So I had to start, I would start like prepping the parents for this. Like, I'm like, just so you know, this is going to happen. Because what happens is parents would just have their kids quit because it looked like to them they didn't enjoy it anymore. Well, I would just have to educate the parents and say, just so you know, this is going to happen. As soon as they have to play with two hands, it's not going to be fun for them for a while. But if they can just get over that hump, if they can just endure the discomfort for a little bit, if they can just be in the river of misery for a little bit and get on the other side of it, the joy will come back again. And they'll be happy. They'll be happy to be playing again. But we've got to get over that hump. And so, anyway, so we started being able to retain students longer because I would prep the parents. So when it would come, the parents are like, oh yeah, Trish told me this is what would happen, you know, and then that would happen. And the parents that would just let the kids be a little bit miserable, when they would let them do that, those students ended up playing for a long time. So let's think of that in our own lives. When we make a plan, we're super excited about it. In the beginning, it's very exciting. We have a lot of motivation, right? And then as we get going into this and it's no longer new anymore and it becomes more mundane. And let's even talk about, let's say you're new in your plant journey. You might be excited about it in the beginning and thinking, oh, I like looking for recipes. I'm going to enjoy this. But then there's going to be a part where you're like, I feel like I'm in the kitchen all the time and I'm not really enjoying this anymore. And you're thinking that the current way that is right now is the way it's always going to be. And it feels too hard. And so most times when we're in that river of misery, we just want to get out. And usually getting out means we just quit whatever the plan was. Where if we could just be comfortable in the uncomfortable, if we could just be onto ourselves and know, I'm going to make this plan. This is what I'm going to do. Whether it's the plan to go to bed at 10 o'clock every night and spend an hour not on your phone before you go to bed, or whether it's your plan, I'm going to, like right now, you guys, I'm just going to tell you, I debated whether I was going to tell you or not, but I'm doing a challenge where I work out twice a day and I drink a gallon of water. And I want all of you to know that that does not mean that Trish is on a diet or anything like that. I just have been able to manage my brain enough now that I feel like, you know what, I can take on a challenge and I can get excited about it. But y'all, even in this challenge, I've had times where I'm in the river of misery. When I'm like, okay, doing two workouts a day sounded like such an awesome challenge in the beginning. And today it just feels awful. I don't want to do it. But I had this moment when I was in my last trip I went to Utah. We went to a big Anthem theater. And you had to climb these big boulders to go up to your seat. And when I did that, I struggled. I didn't do it well. And so I didn't feel strong. And I didn't like how that felt. Normally, I've been able to, this body I have, I've been able to do whatever I wanted to do. And I didn't feel strong that day. And I just thought, I want to just work on my strength. So I've been doing longer weight videos. And then at night, I make sure and I go on a long walk with my dog. And so, and then I also really wanted to see what would happen inside of my body if I started to drink more water. I know that it can help with digestion and things, and I felt like I've had a little bit of issues with that. So I just want you to see, when I tell you that I'm doing things like that, I have my motivation in check, and I'm not doing any of that to hustle for my worth. I'm doing that because it's in the best interest of me. And I wanted to see if I could make a plan, like I'm teaching on this podcast today, and if I could follow the plan, even when I hit the river of misery, when I didn't enjoy it anymore. So right now, I'm not enjoying it that much. I'm not seeing a lot of results from it. I can't really tell yet that I'm stronger. I can't really tell yet that I have better digestion. I haven't figured out, you know, that's all. I haven't got my rewards, right? A lot of times when we start getting the reward, then it's like we get that feeling in the beginning that we started with, kind of that comes back and we get excited again. And we kind of rev up to do more at that point. But, you know, that hasn't really happened yet for me. So I'm learning the piano and I'm having to use two hands right now. So what are you trying to implement in your life where you're having to use two hands to play the piano? What are you doing in your life where you're having to say, I am in the river of misery, but I know that I'm going to come out on the other side. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I know for me that a lot of times I will quit in the river of misery. And that is something that's very human. That's what we do. But what's so exciting when we understand the way that our human brain works and we're onto it, we don't have to quit in the river of misery. We can just stop resisting being there and thinking that it's a problem being there and having some acceptance for it and go, oh, this is that part that's not my favorite. But I know if I keep going and don't quit, I'm going to get to the other side and I'm going to reap the benefits of what's on that other side. Because I think what happens when we resist it, when we think it's a problem that we shouldn't be feeling the way we feel when we're learning two hands on the piano, it's just like those students whose parents thought, oh, well, they just don't enjoy it anymore and they quit. That's what happens. So there is power in making a plan, but there's even more power in pushing through when the plan gets tough. And knowing that when the plan that you made feels tough, that's part of it. I'm telling you, start to implement that. Start to think in your life, what am I doing that's a little bit hard? Or what have I wanted to do that I've never continued doing because now I see, oh, I would get to the river of misery and I would always quit. What is that for you? I think it's different for all of us. But yeah, what an awesome option. We can make a plan. We can be uncomfortable. We can have discomfort. We can know that's part of it. And we can plug through and keep going. All right. If this is something that is really speaking to you and you're like, okay, but I don't know how to manage my brain through that. I don't know how to manage my brain through the misery. I got you, friend. Come join Breathe. That's where I can help you one-on-one. And it's where you can get help from other women. It's where you can take my courses that help you go in and manage your brain. It's all there for you. All right. All right. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time. A few things before you go. If you have found that you need help on your journey of taking amazing care of yourself and loving the space you take up in the world, please, I would love for you to come join us in my monthly membership coaching program called Breathe. Breathe is a place where like-minded women come together and help one another. I help you by coaching you, and then I record that, and then other women will watch while you are helped. And then you watch other women when they're helped. And it's this community where women are helping women, and it's so beautiful. There's a lot of other perks when you're a Breathe member. So you receive coaching, you get to watch other women be coached, and then you also get to have access to any course that I provide. So right now, there's two courses in the membership. One is how to eat plant-based in 30 days without dieting. So if you're at the very beginning of your journey, that will help you so much. Now, if you're a little bit further along in your journey, you will probably love my course that is on self-care. And it's a self-care course that you take over 6 weeks. And it's a way for you to come home to yourself. and start figuring out, what does love feel like for you? And this is a course that I usually offer just to a group coaching program, but now it's also offered in Breathe. Something else you'll have is you'll have this community of support. There'll be a private Facebook group that you can check in with. And remember, you're going to be seeing these other women be coached. So you will get to be, honestly, their best friends. It will be a wonderful community. And you know, sometimes when we eat plant-based and we try to leave diet culture, it's a little bit lonely. So that will be a wonderful support for you. The last thing, I provide weekly meal plans. I'm trying to think of everything I can to make this process of you loving you and you loving the space you take up in the world and you taking amazing care of yourself, to have all the tools for that. And one tool to simplify your life is a weekly meal plan with a grocery list. And that will also be available in Breathe. And all of that will be available on an easy app so that you can access it on your phone and you can, it can be very user friendly for you. So come join me in Breathe. You remember, nothing in your life has to change for everything to change. And that's the work we do in Breathe. Have you come up for air? Have you needed help to keep breathing? I got you. Come join us and breathe. Have you downloaded my free commitment planner? Okay, if you haven't, you totally need to. It's such an easy way for you to make and keep commitments to yourself and honor those commitments. Go to my Instagram account, and in the links in bio, there is an option there to download that for free. Totally go get that. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. If you're feeling like you're missing episodes, it's probably because you're not subscribed. So wherever you listen, you just subscribe and then they will make sure that you don't miss an episode. Also, are you part of my free Facebook group? If you're not, you should be. Come on over, share recipes with us. And it's just a really diet culture free place to enjoy being online. And last of all, have you left me a review? Reviews are really important because that's how other people find the podcast, is through a review. So wherever you listen, go ahead and leave me a review there so other people can get the help that they need through the podcast. All right, y'all are the best. Have the best day. See you next time.